Welcome to Here I Am, a podcast that embraces the changes of the world and within, bringing you back to who you really are. I'm Anna East, and thank you for being here too. Father John, have you lost what you
believe? Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Here I Am. My goodness, it has been a long time since I've sat down to do one of these podcasts, a couple months actually, and I can tell you it feels really good to be back at it again. Life got a little bit crazy on my end. I had a new job coming up. I was about to move. The move got pushed back, ended a semester of university, started a new one, the holidays, all the things, and just general 2020 moving into 2021 stuff, right? Am I right? Can I get an amen? There's been a lot of stuff going on, but I hope through all of it you guys have been doing okay. I hope that you're well and healthy and happy and doing little things every day to bring you joy. And I'm really excited to bring this new episode to you. I think that it'll help to serve, it at least helped me a lot talking with Byron about something with longevity, something that's steady and hopeful and inspiring and something that we can look forward to both now in the present and in the future. So I really am so excited to talk with you about Jack's Solar Garden. The reason I have this guest on today is we actually got connected through a past podcast guest of mine, and I just was so excited to do something that's environmentally focused as well, and we'll get into what all of this is in a second, but I've been looking for topics and guests that feel very fulfilling, and I think that this organization and this business is something worth telling you about. But bringing on a guest who is literally leading a project in renewable energy, agriculture as well, just felt like a really great step to be sharing with you all about, something for me to learn about as well. And it sounded really exciting. And honestly, the conversation was also really cool to hear about and really grounding for me too. So who is Byron? Who is my guest? Well, Byron Komenek is the owner and manager of Jack's Solar Garden, a 1.2, I believe, megawatt, MW, agrivoltaics community solar garden in Boulder County. He is a former U.S. diplomat, having served with the U.S. Agency for International Development on projects related to forestry and wildlife conservation. He has over 12 years of experience working in international development related to natural resource management and speaks both French and Portuguese. He holds a Master's of Science in Environmental Engineering from the University of North Carolina. Byron also thru-hiked the Appalachian Trail with his dog in 2016 and has a penchant for dry cured meats. If anything I can tell you as we head into this conversation is I hope that you find inspiration about helping the planet through this, and I really think as we move forward, especially through this pandemic, we can start to look at new ways that we can really get our hands in the dirt and in our own ways, in our communities, make a difference and change this earth to be a better one, as far as one that's more caring towards our ground, our plants, our people, and all of the things. So, I'm feeling inspired. I hope that you do too. Take a listen, and I hope you enjoy. All right. So hello, Byron, and welcome.
Hi.
Welcome to Here I Am. Thank you for being here. And it's exciting that it's your first time.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. So tell me about let's start with, how's the weather in Colorado today?
Looks like it's a little cloudy, so our solar panels won't be producing as much power, but it's around 40 degrees outside, it looks like.
Oh, that's not too bad of a winter day, is it?
Not too bad. We thought we were going to have a little snow, but it looks like it held back. And hey, morning temperatures are in the teens, and then it gets up to a high of around 40.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah. So it's you know, very curious to me of how Colorado weather works in general. It sounds like it's kind of does whatever it wants, whenever it wants, which I think is really interesting, especially for what you're doing with Jack's Solar Garden. So I'm just going to start from the very beginning as if my listeners and myself, including myself, didn't know anything about what a solar garden was. So can you tell me about what it is?
Sure. So in 2010, the Colorado State Legislature, came up with a bill to help roll out more community or more solar gardens, more solar arrays, more renewable energy across the state. And so their idea was to have what's called a community solar garden be able to be operated by either a community member or a coalition of community members or a local company that would then put their power into a local utility and then sell that power to various subscribers or various residents or businesses or governments in an area. A way of helping to decentralize the amount of decentralize our power production and increase our renewable energy. So in 2019, that legislation was updated. And so now in Colorado, we're able to do a community solar garden between 10 kilowatts and up to 5 megawatts. As long as a solar array is located near or within the community in which it serves. And a community solar garden by Colorado state law has to have at least 10 subscribers.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So it's very much like it's a local serving, would you say organization or process? That's really cool too, that it does keep it local and for, you know, the people directly is around. If I'm correct in thinking that.
Yeah, that's the intentions of it.
Very cool. Wow. So how did you get on board with this? Where did that legislature happen and then brought you into doing Jack Solar Garden?
Well, my family has had this farm, 24 acres of land in Boulder County since the early 70s. And I moved out here in 2016 after having worked abroad for a number of years. I wanted to see our family farm do more, not just for our family, but also for our community. In the past 50 years, we've mainly been growing hay, having some livestock, a little bit of wheat here and there, but mainly grasses, not what I would put into context as a overly productive thing for society. I don't want to diss any other hay producers out there, but for our family, it wasn't exactly what we were envisioning moving forward. So I started looking into what else we could do with our land and came across the idea of doing solar, heard about this community solar garden legislation, looked into it more, started working with our local county to figure out how we could do solar on our property to make it more make our land more economically viable for our family, as well as doing something of benefit to the community. And then I got tied in through a couple friends to a fella over at the National Renewable Energy Laboratory named Jordan Macknick, who is engaged in agrivoltaics. Agrivoltaics being the co-location of agriculture with solar. He brought along a fella from the University of Arizona, Greg Baron Gafford, who had been working on it down in Arizona for some years. And they talked to me out here at the farm about wouldn't it be cool to do agriculture with our solar panels? And I said, hell yeah, basically, let's figure this out. And that was back in 2018. So we've been working together, trying to figure this out for the past few years.
Wow. So then that's one thing I was going to ask you is why put solar and a community garden together? I mean, most people think of doing them separately, but, you know, is that something? So agrivoltaics, that's basically when people put them together. That's the whole concept of it.
Right. So agrivoltaics is the agriculture or the gardening or crop production or pasture grass production or livestock, whatever other agricultural purpose you have mixed in with the solar panels. Saying it's a community solar garden doesn't necessarily mean that it's a garden. It's more Most community solar gardens in Colorado or across the country are basically just chain link fenced off solar arrays with nothing going on, or like weeds or other things growing underneath the panels. Whereas an agrivoltaic system is making sure that the soil beneath the panels stay productive.
Okay. Awesome. That's really cool though. I love, you know, thinking about how can we make this as useful and as, you know, renewable and, you know, and everything as possible. So is it also with the community garden aspect, do people come in and actually work on different spaces in the garden, or they, whatever the agriculture might be?
Oh, at Jack Solar Garden, it will to an extent. So we're working with a nonprofit organization called Sprout City Farms out of Denver. They're used to working on degraded lands or turning concrete areas into farm gardens for putting food back in, out in the community. And they typically work on about a third of an acre of land. And we're giving them about 3 acres of our land underneath our solar panels to learn about doing agrivoltaics in this Colorado system of coming out here, setting up the rows for where the crops are going to go in, and then start planting and then harvesting and putting the food back in the community. So they are currently hiring for a farm manager and a couple farm assistants. And then those will be the first agrivoltaic farmers in Colorado.
That's awesome. What a cool concept. I love it. And I just, yeah, I love that it's thinking like smart as well. And you know, I was introduced to you through Aaron at Earth Love Gardens. Now, I think he was telling me about like a pollinator, what was it? A pollinator garden of some kind, right?
Yeah.
That he was working on?
A pollinator habitat.
Okay.
So Aaron put us in touch with Audubon Rockies, who loved our idea of having an agrivoltaic system with our solar array and wanted to get involved with one of our ideas of doing a vegetative barrier around the perimeter of our solar array. So turning it into a pollinator habitat so that we don't have to have a chain link fence. We can have this vegetative barrier that's a world of perennials to grow over time. I talked to Audubon Rockies about 2 years ago about this idea. They loved it. They started fundraising for it and took it over and planted their largest habitat hero, as they call it, a pollinator habitat in Colorado around the perimeter of our solar array. So it's over 3,000 different types of perennials. 3,000 perennials of various kinds, I should say.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot of plants. So that's amazing. That sounds like such a healthy habitat. And that's, I mean, so cool that you're able to work with these different organizations to bring these different parts, you know, and possibilities to life. Really, I think it's pretty incredible. And also, I love hearing that, you know, you're like, yeah, I talked with them 2 years ago, and seeing hopefully now things coming to fruition. So Jack Solar Garden isn't very old, then, is it?
Oh no, we did that planting of the pollinator habitat on May 1st of 2020. And then we started construction of the solar array in June of 2020. And then we turned on our power to put into the local community on November 1st of 2020.
Wow. Okay. So it is, that's really cool though. How does it feel like having this happening?
Oh, that there's still plenty to do. That's people keep asking me, oh, when do we get to celebrate the completion of this? It's like, give me one more year. Let me make sure all the farming stuff is going well, all the research that's going to go on out here, all that stuff's going well, and then after one full season I'll be pretty happy and ready to celebrate.
Oh yeah, of course. But well, you know, I'm sure everyone is just so excited as too, because it sounds like it's the first time it's happening in Colorado. And I personally haven't heard of anything happening like that in Florida, not to say that there isn't, but just, I haven't heard about it. And you know, I think that's so cool. And it's things do take time. So
there's so few agrivoltaic systems in the US, let alone around the world. So Jack Solar Garden will be the largest research site for agrivoltaics in our country.
Wow, that's so cool. Wow. Well, personally, I want to someday be able to visit this place. And hopefully maybe by the time I can visit, it'll be like around that celebratory time. when you can take a deep breath and be like, okay, we're doing it. We did it. But I am also curious of how the community takes part in this solar garden process.
So there's a bunch of different ways. As far as the solar side of our community interactions, we have about four dozen different residents around Boulder County and Denver that have subscribed into our solar rate, as in paying us for the power that we produce to help us with the ongoing maintenance and the construction of our solar array. So folks, our residents have said, hey, you know, we love what you're doing out here. We want to buy your power as opposed to the power from the local utility or so forth, right? So we're able to provide them basically with the power through the local utility. So there's that angle. We mentioned the agrivoltaic side where we'll be growing crops out here. I know Sprout City Farms will be looking for volunteers to help out with preparing the soil over time. And we also look for, Jack Solar Garden looks for volunteers each spring through fall to help us maintain the pollinator habitat, you know, going through finding the weeds, just checking on the health of the plants, that kind of thing. And then what else? Oh, we'll be doing educational tours starting either later this spring or in the summer. We started a nonprofit branch called the Colorado Agrivoltaic Learning Center. So they'll basically be selling tickets to the community to come out and get a nice guided tour, a nice slow walk around, learn more about solar energy, learn about Colorado agriculture, learn about the combination of them plus the pollinator habitat. So that's look awesome. Out for that.
Yeah, very cool.
We also, one more. We sure. have an Artist on the Farm program. So I Ooh. Just released our 2021 request for applications from artists that live in Boulder County to apply to see if they would become our 2021 Artist on the Farm, where they just help us tell our story and we help showcase their art.
That's wonderful. Oh, that's so cool. I love all the different angles that you can get involved with. And yeah, it just sounds so like holistic. I love it. That's very cool. So listeners, if you're in Colorado, you can definitely be a part of this or nearby. So most of my listeners are from different parts of the world. Is there any advice that you can give them to, if they're interested in getting involved in something like this or something like Jack's, you know, where they are or, you know, how they could help from afar or anything like that?
I don't know about community solar gardens in other parts of the world, depending on their legislation, and all that. As far as supporting us, what would be great is to support our Colorado Agrivoltaic Learning Center, that nonprofit. We have a donation page that I'll pass on to you that folks could donate to. It's a 501c3 project of the Colorado Nonprofit Development Center. So folks can help us out like that. If they're interested in doing agrivoltaics where they are, number one is checking in with the local utility about what it would be like to connect a solar array into their grid, or you can figure out how to do it off grid. And so it's just within whatever power you produce is just used by you. And then think about what grows well in your area and what could use more shade, because mainly what agrivoltaics does is it provides more shade and more, it retains more moisture in the soil for crops. So this is especially beneficial in really sunny drought areas. So if you're in the Middle East, you're in the middle of Australia, you're in Southern Africa, maybe you're in the some of the drier areas within South America. Those are areas that could really benefit from it. And then if you're in other spots, think about what other things could use more shade. Like in Japan, they grow mushrooms underneath solar panels because more shade, more humidity, and all that.
Oh, very cool. Awesome. Okay. That's some inspiration, some seeds of inspiration. If anybody's thinking about this and thinking like, oh, you know, maybe I should start thinking about, you know, something a little bit different than what we're doing right now. That's really cool. They could be somebody like you starting up their own
totally.
Center. Yeah. So, and I also really liked, you know, you had been talking about wanting to use your family's farm for something a little bit different than it had, you know, you had been using it for in the past. And I really feel like that's a common theme and also struggle / inspiration for a lot of us right now. Me personally, just, you know,
when I felt a little bit like helpless or lost over the past, you know, year or two, of what am I going to do next to help things move forward, in terms of helping the environment or in terms of, you know, helping with, you know, food issues in my area, things like that. I just think about how you are converting, you know, your family's farm into something that is useful and helpful for your community and everything. What are your thoughts on how places like Jack Solar Garden and working towards a different future might help us find inspiration? Those of us who are like, what can I do? How can I, you know, move things forward if they're feeling overwhelmed?
I would say, look at the long game, the combating climate change, dealing with our local social issues and the like. Those aren't things that we change overnight. A small tweet or a post on a blog, those are not going to change that much unless you're a leader of a country. The normal folks, what we can do is we can envision a future, not just like next month, not just next year, but think about a decade plus of whatever resources you have to utilize or whatever you want to envision in the future. Look down the line. Don't think about what are you going to get right now? What are you going to get next year? What's all the returns? Like for Jack Solar Garden, I was lucky that I had a job in the past that I had savings that I could use over the past year to survive, as well as live on a farm where it was paid for, like, so there's no rent on the land. And so I could concentrate on this and not have to work for other people while I sort this out. So I wasn't gaining anything in the past year or two for working on this project, just still looking at that end game, thinking about what is the purpose of what I'm doing 10 years, 20 years. I would also say I couldn't have done any of this without partnerships, without other people. Like I think if it was just me, without the National Renewable Energy Laboratory, without Audubon Rockies, without Colorado State University, without University of Arizona or Sprout City Farms, I would be vastly more overwhelmed and uncertain of what I was doing. I would have less credibility for the ideas that I have. I would likely not have been able to do the project without all these partnerships. So find like-minded people, stick together. And, you know, I've met numerous people over the past few years as I was developing this project, that many of them came and left. Like they were here for a hot minute being like really, really excited. And then they, you know, frittered away because things were moving very slowly for them. So they didn't want to stay involved. So find the people that are in it for the long haul, that will continue to meet up for coffee, continue having calls every few weeks or once a month, to just keep the idea of moving and rolling. And then it'll just take time. Like this project took us over 3 years to get to this point.
Yeah, that's some awesome pieces of wisdom and motivation as well. Thank you. It's, you know, so you had said, I'm just going to recap for my own self as well. Let's see, look at longer term goals. Yeah. Be in it for the long haul, find people that are also in it for that longer term, and find people that are motivated too. I think that's, you know, I've worked on projects or led projects before where I had a few people, but I hadn't learned the skill yet of finding people that are in it for that, the long haul too. And on your own, I think it's just sometimes it's so much harder. So it's so much easier and better, like you said, when you have other people alongside with you.
How you find those people?
How?
You stay open. Like you stay open mentally to whatever anybody wants to bring to the table. You're like, okay, let's talk about it. Let's hear your thoughts. What are you doing on these things? You can't just say, you know, this is my project, this is it. You have to fit within my mold. You have to listen to other people. You have to be able to allow them to bring their ideas to the table and want their ideas as part of your project, to be able to get people to invest, not just financially, but also with their time and their passion.
Yeah, that's Wow. Great words too. Yes. I'm going to remember that. Hopefully that'll help other people listening too. That's a really good point. I love this. Thank you so much. And I also was curious. So, you had talked about longevity and everything, which with Colorado snow and everything like that, what, happens during the winter months? I'm just curious on that, you know, perspective too.
Well, winter months, everything slows down. So there's less sunlight, there's more cloudy days. So we're producing less power. One, the solar panels do provide a different microclimate beneath of them. So it stays warmer underneath the panels a little bit later into the evening. And the ground may not be as cold directly underneath the panels as it is outside of the panels. So potentially you can extend the growing season in the fall another week or so, and maybe you can start the growing season a week or so early in the springtime. But otherwise during the wintertime, yeah, not much is going on.
Mm-hmm. But you know, it kind of reflects the natural, you know, season anyway, that everything is meant to slow down then too. So,
Well, for your friends in the tropics, you know, they won't have those. they just get to keep growing year round. But, in these northern climes, yeah, we have the seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's a really cool perspective though, that it's like, it's not going to stop you from doing something. It's still, you know, do something. Oh, it's just not going to work here, but instead, you know, figuring out ways for it to work when it can, and, you know, the best way it can for Colorado, which is awesome. So I am curious, I did read a little bit on your Instagram of the name, why it's named Jack's Solar Garden, but I would love to hear from your personal words why it is named Jack and not Byron's.
Sure. Yeah, my name is Byron. So Jack was my grandfather. He is the one that purchased our land. He's the father of my mother. And so when we were going about trying to figure out what the name of this solar array was going to be, we went through a number of different names, and my mom one day called me up and said, you know what, I'll be happy with whatever name it is as long as Jack is in it. Oh. So we were like, you know what, that's a really great idea. Let's make a Jack Solar Garden.
Well, that's awesome. So it can carry on in his name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very cool. And so how has this, you know, it sounds like you've been working at this for a while, but I am curious of how this has impacted you in your own life, working on a project of this scale for this long. What are your thoughts on it all?
Well, let's see. You know, at the very beginning when we were like in 2017, when the initial ideas of this came around, I had no idea if this was going to go anywhere. I was just interested in it, and it was interesting enough for me to carry on the conversation once a month or every other month with either the utility or with the county or other folks that would be interested in it. And as it slowly picked up steam, I got to keep talking with more and more people to see who else was interested in this. And that once we won a bid with Xcel Energy to be able to interconnect our solar array with their grid, that's when I basically left my old job and just started focusing on this full time to get it rolling. And what it's meant for me is giving me freedom to, I get to be my boss. I get to decide how I want to spend my time or what partnerships I want to be engaged with, how I want to do business, how I want to work with folks. And I get to live by my own mission statement, which I truly appreciate. And then let's see, it's also been great to be more part of my community. I think before this, I was just living on this farm, didn't know many people in the area. Not many people knew what I was about or what I was interested in. And now after a couple of years of this, more and more folks are learning about Jack Solar Garden and learning about what I'm doing and giving me a call and either thanking me for working on this or telling me more about what they're doing. So I get to learn more about it. So it's quite nice to, this project has helped me become more a part of my community.
Oh, that's awesome. I love hearing that. You know, I feel like that's definitely goals as far as personal personal, you know, things that I think a lot of us would like to find in our own lives is so much of what you've just said. So that's really cool that you're finding it with that. And also that you are getting more linked into your community and building that. That's, I mean, it's all, you know, started from you, which is so cool, you know, that you made the choice to do this. And here it is, like, kind of now bringing in all these awesome other benefits to your life too. So what are you looking forward to in the near future or in the far future? it's up to you. You can answer that however you want.
I'll hit them all. So near future, this spring, looking forward to getting our irrigation system set up out in the solar array, getting folks from Sprout City Farms and our researchers out here on a regular basis from spring through fall. And later fall, get to hear more about everybody's experiences of being out at the solar array, seeing what we can change for the coming season. So that'll be quite exciting. And then long term, I really hope we do get to be a model for how other farms or larger farms, other communities, other folks looking at how they can get closer to 100% renewable energy while also improving how they grow crops. I would love for us to be an inspiration to other folks to push that forward. So hopefully one day we'll be able to work with regulators and policymakers and let them know more about what worked well for us and what could have worked better within the system that we had to operate in to make this more of a possibility for other farms.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, and well, it sounds like you are doing it. You are becoming that inspiration by leading the way, and yeah, also having the, I'd say the background and everything to hopefully guide you into knowing how to deal with things in the right way too. That's awesome. I love hearing that. And my last question for you is just how can my listeners best support you?
Yeah. One, spreading the word, let more folks know about what we have going on. Check out the jacksolargarden.com. And then I will pass you the website for the Colorado Agrivoltaic Learning Center. We have a donation page set up through Colorado Gives where if folks want us to help support the educational tours that we'll be doing out here for both community members as well as schools, donating through that helps us out and helps to spread the word about agrivoltaics.
Awesome. Well, you heard it from him. thank you so much, Byron, for spending time to talk with me about this. I'm personally so interested in just learning more about all this. I'm kind of like a sponge at this point. So thank you so much for spending time with me and chatting with me. And hopefully my listeners have gained some inspiration and you planted some seeds in their minds. But yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Anna.
Awesome. And thank you so much to Be Unique Magazine for sponsoring this podcast. And thank you, my wonderful listeners, for listening in. And I think that's all. Any last words?
Nope.
Okay, sounds good. All right, I'll end it there.
Just a haze on the water. And then when it clears, it's another's turn to discover. But you know, you'll have to let go.